As we focus our hearts this morning on the text of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, please turn one more time to the book of Hebrews. And I'm a little sad because, although I hope you will continue reading the book of Hebrews as you travel through life, for our times on Sunday mornings, we will not be looking at it in the near future, as far as I know right now. And it was 1 year ago today, January 5th, that I asked you to turn to the book of Hebrews for the first time. And it has been a great journey to travel through chapter 11 and then here at the beginning of 12 to kind of see the conclusion of the matter. And you may be asking, what's next? So I'll go ahead and let you know. The plan right now is 1 Peter. I think we're going to be studying through 1 Peter this year. As we have talked as a pastoral team and prayed over the last few months, I kind of feel like that's the direction we should go. And we'll kind of be introducing the theme and all the details that will go along with that here in the near future. But as we look at the final three verses kind of in this series, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. I just want to start by way of introduction, just talking a little bit about what's happened in the last week of our lives. And I'm sure you all noticed, maybe not as much as I did, because I felt like every time I turned something on, whether it was my phone or the TV or some sort of talk radio, the general conclusion in the public arena was that people could not wait to finish 2020. Like, they were just over it. And there was this constant talking point about how bad 2020 was and how hopeful people were as they turned the corner in 2021 that it was going to be better. And so you heard that message. And then as the new year came, I think that was on everyone's mind that, wow, this is going to be great. And then people woke up on January 1st and realized that, yes, there is a new year. And for those people who still use paper calendars, I don't know if there's anyone left that still uses paper calendars. I know there's probably a few. You may not be willing to admit it. I actually still like a paper calendar for some things. But those of you who like paper calendars, you like that feeling of, you know, getting rid of the clutter and all the pages that were full. And I actually, yesterday, I threw away my 2020 calendar, and I now I'm looking at this blank, pretty blank page to now write what will happen here in this next year. But we love that feeling. And it's good on some level, and I'm all for New Year's resolutions and goals. I think those are great things. But the reality of life is that when we wake up on the next day after New Year's Eve on January 1st, and then the following day, we realize that really not much has changed. Because the problem of sin is still with us. And because we still have sin, we live in a broken world. And so the brokenness that we experienced on December 31st is still with us on January 1st. And we have to wrestle with our own hearts, the problems that we have with others. It would be great, right, if we turned the new year and it was like this reset, this factory reset. Do you know what a factory reset is? Well, in regards to technology, I've been working with one of my children. Their phone was having issues, and so we've been talking to Verizon and insurance and trying to get this problem resolved. And when we talk to them, you know, their solution is, well, let's try a factory reset first before we send out a new phone, and let's get that done. And that's basically where the whole phone is shut off and it's cleared, right? All the apps are cleared, all the things that you've accumulated have cleared, and they kind of reset it like it was brand new. The problem is specifically for this phone, is the mechanics are bad. So you can do a factory reset all you want, but the actual mechanisms inside the phone, they're not right. and there's something broken. Well, that's kind of how New Year is. We kind of view the New Year as a factory reset. It's like, okay, it's going to be great and we're going to move on. But then we realize, oh, the mechanics are still bad. Like my heart is still deceitful and it's still wicked. And oh yeah, the people who I live with, they're in the same boat. And my extended family, they got the same problem. And my coworkers, they do as well. Our mechanics are bad because of indwelling sin. We went through that last week. We get distracted. Sometimes there are things that are good that distract us, but they're not the best because they take us away from our race, the journey that we're on in pursuing Jesus. But then there's some things that are just downright sinful and they entangle us. And the scripture says in verse 1, they easily entangle us. So on January 1st and January 2nd, we still live with a heart that is easily distracted and easily entangled. And so we like to think that this factory reset's going to solve the problems, but it just doesn't. And that's why we have in January and February, and sometimes it's because of the weather, and I get that, especially up north. But there's this lull in people's hearts, and sometimes a lot of really discouragement and depression sets in January, and a lot of people just lose heart and they want to give up because whatever they were looking to circumstantially, whether it was that kind of enjoyable moment of the holidays and how, you know, kind of euphoric that sometimes that is, and then it doesn't actually carry over and we're still actually a mess. And so we have this new year with the same problems. I was talking with someone yesterday who received very, very disheartening news yesterday, someone in our church. You know, just the kind of news that just takes the wind right out of your sail. It's like, what in the world is going on? It's only January 2nd. We still have indwelling sin. We still have relationship issues with others. And that is because the mechanism, We're tainted. There's something wrong. Now, let's look at chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's read 1 through 3 together just so we can kind of get the whole context. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And this is a great passage for us to meditate on at the beginning of 2021 with the understanding that though we started a new year, we still have the same problems, the same financial issues, the pressures of everyday life. It's all there. But the answer is right here in this text. So we have a major problem. And the problem isn't just individual for all of us, although we experience it, but this text tells us, and I asked you to circle all the plural pronouns last week. We, us, 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 us 5 times. We are all in this. This is a collective journey. This race that we are on, as it tells us at the end of verse 1, let us run the race. We're all on this race. If you're a true follower of Christ, you are running this race. The starting point is all the same. We meet Jesus at the cross. And he starts that process of sanctification in our life. And we are on this race. And some of us are running a little faster. Some of us are lagging behind. But we are all headed towards Jesus if you are a true follower of his. And so we have this race to run together. And as we run the race, The author of Hebrews tells us that we need to do a constant evaluation of our hearts. And that's what we did, hopefully, last week, if you joined us last week. We did an evaluation because it says that there are these things that we must lay aside. My version says encumbrances. You're probably reading from a version, perhaps it says weights. But we are supposed to do an evaluation of our lives, and if there are these things called distractions or weights or encumbrances, we are to lay them aside. And these can come in different forms. They can, as I mentioned before, they can be good things that really are there's nothing sinful about them, but because they're not the best, they can distract us. I mean, the scripture tells us that we are to work and we are to earn money and we are supposed to provide for our families and we are supposed to honor the Lord by working. But okay, so that's a good thing, but work can become a distraction on our race toward Jesus if we get it out of perspective, if it becomes a priority more important than Jesus himself. So something that is good can turn actually into something that is bad. That's a weight or an encumbrance, and the author says to lay that aside. Look to Jesus. Let him be your priority. And then as well, we're supposed to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. And as I mentioned last week, every situation is tailor-made for you personally. So your sin struggles, they're tailor-made for your heart. The evil one wants to destroy you in the areas where you're most weak. And so with this tailor-made, a temptation, you can easily get entangled. But we're supposed to lay it aside. We're supposed to set the sin aside. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't because we're just flat out lazy. Sometimes we don't because we're apathetic. We don't care. Sometimes we don't because we treasure our secret sin. Sometimes we're just flat out weary. And that's why we don't lay aside the things that are distracting us. Sometimes it's not understanding the right priorities of life. Sometimes it's misplaced trust in God and losing of our first love, as it tells us in Revelation. Sometimes it's the company that we keep that can hinder us and distract us. There's a number of reasons why we don't lay this aside, but the scripture tells us that is very, very important to running the race well. So as we look at this year, we must constantly do an evaluation of our heart. Is there something that's distracting me from my love of Christ? Is there something in my heart that I'm treasuring more than Christ? Is there a sin struggle that I am not putting off and then also then putting on the opportunity we have to live out Christ and the strength that he provides? So that's kind of the first step, the answer to what we should do here in 2021, a constant evaluation. Now, there's another reason why many times our race does not go well, and I want to hit that now as we look back in the text. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 3, you have Jesus being the example because he endured. But then it says, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I think the third reason many times why we don't run well from these verses, number one would be the distraction, number two would be the sinful things that we treasure in our hearts, number three would be just general discouragement, the weariness of life, and then the temptation to lose heart. I don't know if you've ever been in a running race, and I apologize if I offended anyone last week about making that comment about it not being a real sport because it doesn't involve a ball. I said I had changed my perspective on that, right? All those cross-country runners and all those marathon runners, I know it's a sport, and you know, kudos to you. I don't do it, but good for you. But if you've ever been in a race or an athletic event in general, let's just say it that way, and you are just dead tired, and you have someone that's maybe a coach or a teammate that that just looks at you and says, you got to just keep going. You just got to keep running. That's great encouragement, but sometimes it's like, I just can't. I had the privilege of coaching for many years, and I enjoyed the time when specifically when my daughters would play in volleyball tournaments, and we would go to nationals on a yearly basis with the volleyball club, and nationals would be like four straight days of volleyball, and you would start early in the morning, and the first couple days would be all pool play. And so you would play one match after the other, just constant matches, because they're kind of working through hundreds of teams, right? This is a massive national tournament down in Orlando, and it was just all day, just constant, jumping, hitting, passing, setting, just work, work, work. And then, like after 2 days, you would finally get placed into your tournament. And so your position, you know, really mattered how you did in pool play when you get to that next point. So you didn't even start really competing for the actual tournament until that third day. And you're just exhausted, and the athletes are exhausted, and then the tournament starts. And you have to go all day, and then you have the semis, and then you go. And if you make it to the finals, you're now talking four straight days. And these, you know, young athletes, they are completely spent. Completely spent. And as a coach and a parent, you just have to say, keep going. Like, here's another granola bar, protein bar, keep going. You just have to finish. And that's kind of what the author of Hebrew is doing for us. He's saying, this race is hard. It is difficult. And you're tempted to, in your weariness, lose heart. You're tempted to be discouraged. And that happens to all of us on different levels. And some people struggle with it more than others, kind of depending on personality, how they handle circumstances, and even sinful things along these lines. But there are these times when we get discouraged, and the scripture here is saying, don't stop running. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. You are overwhelmed, perhaps. You feel like there's no energy left. You are completely spent. Look to Jesus. He will sustain you. So I don't know what it is for you that's hindering your race, whether it's the distractions of life, whether it's the sinful pleasures of this life, or whether it's just flat-out discouragement. These are all things that we must lay aside. Put aside, and then as we do so, it gives us very clear instruction to look to Jesus. So the answer, you know, we want like this list of things. Give me something to do. Just give me something to do, and give me a quick list, and so I can change, and I want to get over this. It's not the Christian life. This race is difficult, and it's hard. And it's just one step after the other. Lay aside the weights, the sin that entangles us. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. And look to Jesus. That is the answer. And you're like, oh, I want something more. There is nothing more. There is nothing more than Jesus for your race. He is actually all that you need. You don't need a quick fixed list of do's and don'ts. You don't need more like self, you know, imposed gumption. I'm just going to pull my bootstraps up and I'm just going to. No, you need Jesus to sustain you. So look to him. Don't stop running. When you stop running, it's a sign of unbelief. True believers finish. They go all the way to the end. Yeah, the journey's hard, it's difficult, but they go all the way to the end. Look back in the text, please, in verse 2. It says there, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Verse 3, for consider him. Same idea. Look to Jesus, and I love the way the NASB translates it as I'm reading, Fix your eyes on him. When you fix your eyes on something, you keep your focus there. Like it captures your attention. Something that is an amazing thing to look at, something that is just so big, so majestic, that you can't get your eyes off it. That is our Savior, Jesus. Consider him. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. Not only does he give faith, but he demonstrated a life that was lived by faith. We have looked at all of these individuals all year that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith. And they were great. Yes, they were imperfect, and yes, they struggled, but they lived lives of faith. They kept trusting God. But the writer of Hebrews does not say, at the end of all this, the conclusion is, look to Moses. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, look to David. He doesn't say that at all. He says, look to Jesus. All of those people who went before, and they were great examples, ones that we can learn from and have learned from. But they all survived because Jesus came. They kept going because of the promise that was told to them. So the answer for our struggle with the distractions of life and with the sin that entangles us and the discouragement that comes, our answer is Jesus and Jesus alone. And we must fix our eyes on him. Yes, we think about all of the folks who lived these lives of faith, and they were great, but it all points to Jesus. And that's why I wanted to end the series here with verses 2 and 3, so that we make sure we get the point of all of it. It was all because of Jesus. What did he do? Well, he came and he did everything that we couldn't do. He accomplished the work. It tells us back in the text. He is the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. He also, in verse 3, says that he endured hostility by sinners against himself. So we have the ultimate example of faith. We've had some good ones. But we have the ultimate example of faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he came to this earth as a man, and he experienced and was tempted in all the ways that we are. And yet he lived a perfect life. And what did he do? He endured. And his endurance took him all the way to the cross, which was the hardest thing that anyone ever had to do. I don't think we can comprehend what this text fully means. When the author says that Jesus endured the cross, what that means is that he took upon him the wrath of God for all of our sin. That's what he endured. Yes, the physical suffering, even the hostility that was shown to him during his days on earth, where people mocked him and made fun of him. Yes, he endured all that, but it took him all the way to the worst part. And that was where God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. And God's wrath was there because of you and me. Like the easy sin that we get entangled with, that's what Jesus endured. The punishment for that sin. Jesus took upon him the sin of the world, and he endured it. If there was anyone who lived a life of faith, it's our Jesus. And so we look to him and we consider him as the ultimate example. And what was motivating him? Well, it tells us right there in the text, the joy that was set before him. What does that mean? Well, Jesus knew God the Father's promise to him that if he would go through this, Philippians 2 tells us that if he would endure on the other side of the cross and the grave, he would be given a name that it was above every name. And it was at that name that every knee would bow. And so he could endure all the hostility, all of the mocking, all the shame, because he knew what was on the other side. That was the joy that he was going to experience. When he sat down victoriously on the right hand of God the Father, and with that position came a name, and he himself would be exalted forever and ever, so that in 2021, this little congregation in Simpsonville, South Carolina, would sing songs like, "All glory be to Christ," like we still believe it today. He endured in his day. And he is still enjoying the blessings of his obedience and his life of faith. And the cool thing is, if we will endure, if we will run this race, if we will look to Jesus, the same is waiting for us. The glory of the Father and Jesus and the enjoyment of their presence forever and ever. There is a joy that we have not experienced, but it is coming. We have to keep running. We got to get there. So obey the scriptures and lay aside the distractions. Lay aside the sin that's entangling our hearts. Put away the discouragement. Make a goal. I'm not going to get discouraged this January. Probably speaking to those people who really struggle during this season of time. Make a goal. Like, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to let him capture my attention. He's going to be my focus. I'm not going to get distracted. And you won't do that perfectly, but set a goal for it. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "And while being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. While suffering, he did not threaten. He kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously." Once again, Jesus, the perfect example of how to live a life of faith. He kept entrusting himself to the Father who would judge and make all things right. And so we do the same. You may be, as it says here in 1 Peter, abusively insulted in 2021. No doubt you're going to have problems. Some will be because of your own issues and the things that you bring on yourself. Some are not because of that. They're the issues of other people. But he did not return with insult. He did not threaten, even though he could. What did he do? He kept entrusting himself to God the Father. So I'd like you to, if you have a pen and you have an actual paper Bible, or if you can highlight, I would like you to circle the words endurance, endured. You'll find that twice. You'll find endurance in verse 1, endured in verse 2, and endured for verse 3, because that is what we have to do. That's what Jesus did. He endured. That is what we have to do. We have to endure. As we run this race, we endure and we keep running. One step after the other. Keep going. Keep going. And because Jesus was victorious, and because he did overcome the grave, and because he does sit in victory today at the right hand of God, we will enjoy that same victory someday. If you will keep running, keep looking to Jesus, keep considering him and trusting yourself to the Father, the joy will be there. But it's flat out hard work. As followers of Christ in 2021, we must have the same faith that our Savior did. And Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then it continues on. It says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And so what motivates us is the same thing that motivated our Savior, the joy that was set before him. He knew the reward was going to be there, that he would be the exalted one forever and ever. And God has told us that if we will run this race and we will be faithful all the way to the end, and a true believer finishes, that he is a rewarder. And there are some things in Scripture that kind of point to what this is going to be like, but I don't think we fully understand it. Until our faith is made sight, I don't think that we really comprehend what this reward will look like. Some in our church family experienced that in 2020 when they went on to see Jesus. We lost members of Calvary Baptist Church, and they finished their race, and they're enjoying the presence of God and his rewards. And some this year will be in that same category, and I don't know who it is. But all I know is the Scripture makes it very clear. Runners in this race finish. Runners in the true race of the Christian life, they finish. And the encouragement is for us to run well. And the way we do that is to lay aside all the stuff that slows us down and let Jesus capture our attention. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. So as I said last week, as we kind of start 2021, it's not a new race. It's a new year, but the same old race with the same problems and the same sin struggles and the same frustrations. But we have the same Savior. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still at the right hand of the Father waiting for us. And so we must run well. So let me ask you, do you need to pick up the pace a little bit? Maybe if you lay aside the weights, that'll actually help you run better, as it says here in the text. Are there areas of your life where you need to get into better shape? Probably. Again, these are all plural pronouns. We, us. No one's exempt. All of our sin struggles, they're all tailor-made for us. But maybe we need to discipline ourselves a little better. Maybe we need to fight a little stronger. Maybe we need to, as it says in the Scripture, to put to death the deeds of the flesh. As we enjoy a brand new start to the year, with your calendar perhaps wide open, would you, in your own personal way, whatever it takes, let Jesus be the focus. Fix your eyes on him. So I don't know if you need to write out a piece of Scripture on every day of your calendar or what you can do to let Jesus capture your attention on a daily basis. But that is what will get you through. That is what we have to run the race well. We have a Savior who will never leave us or forsake us. Would you bow with me as we close? I'm speaking to runners this morning, runners in the Christian faith. Those who have at some point met Jesus personally. And when you met him, you acknowledged your own personal need of salvation. You needed a Savior. And you turned from yourself and your sin, and you looked to Jesus. And as the Scripture said, that God made you alive in Christ. That was the starting point. If that's not happened in your life, I would invite you to meet Jesus today, because the offer of salvation is always there. And you can, in this very moment, call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved. You can literally acknowledge yourself before a holy God. God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and Jesus is my Savior. He can save you today. But for those who would claim, hey, I'm on this race, I'm on the journey, would you do a little evaluation again? Like, are you running well? Are there areas where you need to lay aside perhaps distractions, sin struggles, or just general discouragement? Lay it aside and look to Jesus and keep running. God, thank you for the truth of your word that reminds us of the journey that we're on, the race of the Christian life. And you have a desire for our lives today, and that's that we run well. And you've given us very clear instruction, just simple things, what we need to do to run well. We need to lay things aside that distract us from you. And we need to keep looking to you, Jesus, our Savior, for our strength and help. Thank you for being the ultimate example of living by faith, courageous faith. It was motivated by the joy that was set before you, and you did endure. God, help us to be motivated by your joy, God, and your reward that is waiting for us, and help us to endure. And God, help us to run well. Thank you for each one who's been a part of our service today. I pray that you would accomplish your purposes. Lord, as we begin another week, would you use us for your glory? I ask in your holy and precious name, I pray.